Welcome, friends. You're listening to the Swears and Does Hair podcast for bridal hairstylists and makeup artists looking to take their business to new levels. Here we tackle topics such as mindset, finances, balancing business with motherhood, and healthy strategies to keep your body and mind supporting your business rather than holding it back. I'm your host, Sue Minsky, business coach for bridal hairstylists and creator of the Next Level Bridal Business Program. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to dig into today's topic, so let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Swears and Does Hair podcast. I'm your host, Sue Minsky, and we are about to start episode number 70. This is the final episode of season 2, and oh my God, I cannot believe that I have made it this far in my podcasting journey. It's kind of mind-blowing to think that I've put myself out here 70 times now, just speaking to my audience and everybody who is a follower of the podcast. Now I've branched out into a YouTube channel to help bring more business education to other hairstylists and makeup artists in the bridal industry. It's been a really incredible journey. So first off, let me start by saying thank you so much to everybody for listening, whether this is your very first episode that you're listening or watching, if you're watching it on the YouTube channel, or whether you have been an OG and followed me from the beginning and this is your 70th time listening to me share my perspective on how to build and grow your bridal beauty business. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Now, before we get into today's episode, I have a request from you. Okay, so wherever you're listening to this week's podcast, whether that's Spotify or Apple, majority of you are on Apple. I think like 80 or 90% of you listen on Apple Podcasts versus Spotify or a different player. But Spotify and Apple, both of those, if you're listening on one of those guys, as soon as today's episode is done, can you do me a quick favor? Just scroll down and leave me a quick rating. That would absolutely make my day. It's a lot of work to put the podcast out there, to film, to edit, to prep, to write all the episodes, do the post-production. They get turned into blogs, articles now, and get posted. So they're in three different places now. So if you could take a few seconds to just leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it would be amazing. Whether you want to just click the number of stars on there and leave me a quick rating, or if you want to take a few extra seconds and just leave me an actual review, it would absolutely make my day. And as always, I love, love, love getting all of your messages in my inbox on Instagram. It really just lights me up hearing how much you guys love and appreciate the podcast. It makes all of the work that goes into it kind of worth it, because in case you're not aware, I don't get paid to do this podcast. I don't make any money off of it. Yes, there are people who have found me on the podcast who have gone on to purchase other coaching products or courses or templates and all those kinds of things from me. So it does help to offset some of the costs associated with it. But I do this because I want to see our industry grow and really change the narrative about what it means to work in the wedding industry, especially as a bridal hairstylist or makeup artist, because sometimes the industry really just doesn't feel as respected and people don't necessarily see us as legitimate. And so I want to educate as many bridal artists out there as possible on how to shift that perspective, how to really elevate their communication, their marketing, their client experience, and just overall kind of help to raise all of us to that next level. So if you love the podcast, if you love the YouTube channel, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, go ahead, give it a thumbs up. Make sure that you subscribe. All these little pieces of the puzzle really help to support the continued growth of this show. So all of that being said, season 3 will be coming back in a couple of weeks. I'm undecided on the exact start date, but it looks like we're going to take about 6 or 7 weeks off. I say we like there's anybody else that's a part of this. I do it all myself, but I will be coming back hopefully with some really amazing guests. I'm reaching out to people now and kind of starting to schedule those interviews and stuff like that. So we will be jumping back more into the interviews. I know I dropped off from that in this season. Season 3 is definitely going to have more interviews, I promise. So in the meantime, though, you can always go over to the YouTube channel and you can make sure to subscribe there first. Like this video. And then also, there's going to be some YouTube exclusive content that will be there in the coming weeks. So you can continue to grow and expand your education even while the podcast itself is on break. So again, you can get the continued education through the blog and through YouTube during the break. Otherwise, I will be back sometime in October or November with more audio podcasts on Spotify and Apple and Google and all the wonderful places that technology spreads the word for me, and that I don't have to do it manually myself, because it would be like, hi, it's on Apple. And that's it. If I had to go and do all of this myself and I couldn't just use technology to put it out there in an RSS feed, you'd get it in like one place and that's it. So what are we talking about in this final episode of season 2, number 70? It's still kind of like blowing my mind here, but we are going to be talking about brides who don't listen. When you speak, when you email, when you write stuff on your website or put things on your social media, and brides just like, they act like they've never seen it and they don't know this information. How do you deal with it? I am a lurker in a lot of Facebook groups. You also see me post a lot. I try and share as much information as I can that I think will be supportive and helpful. Sometimes I'll jump in there and tell people things that they really don't want to hear, but whatever. I'm not going to kiss anybody's ass because I don't believe that's helpful. But anyways, I see a lot of people talking about this shift in 2023 brides, and people are kind of like, what is in the water this year? Why are people having so many issues with communication? That's kind of like the number one problem that I'm seeing. And brides ghosting even after they are contracted and they've paid this big retainer and they've signed this contract. And a lot of these artists are like, I can't get my brides to email me back. I can't get them to call me back or anything. I need all of these details and things like that. So I've seen a huge number of artists struggling with that. A lot of people in my own community and people that I interact with and talk with, and kind of like, what are you struggling with? What are some great topics? What can I create trainings around and things like that? So the number one thing is really a lack of communication. So I'm going to talk about a couple of great resources that I think you can start putting into play in your business. And the number one thing that I'm going to say is make sure that you have a communications clause in your contract. I will put a link in the show notes for the audio podcasts where it goes out, and then also again in the YouTube video below as well, to a communications clause that you can purchase from the legal page and then just input that right into your contract for every bride moving forward. I think it's a really important piece to have in there, since communication does seem to be an issue. And essentially what it's saying is that failure to communicate certain details can result in the cancellation of a contract. So if you are somebody who is struggling with a bride getting back to you, I know your first instinct is to be like, no bride is worth this, and my mental stress this, and my mental stress that, and whatever. I agree with making sure that you're protecting your mental peace and stuff like that. But my first question to you is, what have you done beforehand? And don't just say, well, I've emailed a bunch of times and she's not getting back to me. That's not enough, especially these days. And I just had a really great conversation with another coaching student the other day. And I was like, you know, what are you struggling with? And she's talking about, you know, people getting back to her about timelines and headcounts and things like that. And people just kind of ghosting her. And what I was talking with her about was her workflow and what is her process? What does she go through all of these details with this, with these brides? Why is she still waiting around for headcounts and timeline details when a wedding is 30 days out? Like, I never struggled with that. And I think it's not just that this is the way brides are communicating these days, but I think that I was always so proactive in my business that there was no opportunity for people to not give me those details. So I'll explain. Basically, I communicated so many times regarding these details that it was in so many conversations that unless something changed and we had discussed these details like 5, 6, 7 times already throughout this, you know, 9 or 12 months, like that was it. That's how I was writing my timeline and my schedule and my headcounts. Unless a bride had reached out to me and said, I need to add 3 people, or we need to finish by this time now instead, or we need to start at this time now instead because of, you know, venue problems or whatever. What was on my contract was what I was going off of. And I did not wait for the bride to confirm anything. If it's on the contract, it's already been confirmed. She's already literally signed that and paid based on those details. There's nothing to confirm at that point. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, I remain flexible, or they don't know these details or whatever. To me, it's impossible for them to not know these details by a certain point. By like 4 or 5 months out before the wedding, guess what? They have to order invitations. They know what time their ceremony is. Usually like 7, 8, 9 months in advance, they know what time their ceremony is. I don't wait for a photographer 2 weeks before a wedding day to tell the bride what time they need to be ready by. That's my job. That to me, that is my job. That is my responsibility to say, if you're going to have a ceremony at 3 p.m., you need to be done somewhere between 12 to 1 o'clock. All of the hundreds and hundreds of weddings that I have done in almost 17 years, 2 to 3 hours before the ceremony time is the sweet spot. Okay. And I almost always, unless they were very firm and they'd already spoken with their photographer and said, this is what time we are starting photos, my photographer needs 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever, I would tell them, let's plan for 3 hours. Okay. Because one, I want to be packed up and gone before the photographer arrives. I'm not waiting on those types of images for my portfolio. I don't physically need to be there. I don't need to worry about my work lasting long enough. The only time I would stick around was if I was putting in somebody's veil, or if they had paid for some type of touch-up package for me to stay while the photographer was doing the getting ready photos and things like that. And at that point, everybody was 100% ready. I was packed up and I had a few items kind of like set off to the side for the pose getting ready photos. I never allowed getting ready photos while I was actually getting somebody ready. Everything was always faked for years and years and years and years. Okay, you want me to spray the shot of hairspray? Cool. I wasn't spraying it actually on their head. I was misting it in the air behind them so that the light could catch it from the angle. Nobody could tell I wasn't actually spraying on the hair. It made a beautiful shot. Like all those things, putting the lipstick on, mascara, putting in the veil, you know, tucking a stray hair or whatever, smoothing flyaways, all of those things. Everything was always faked, okay? Because nobody wants actual getting ready photos of them with their hair or their makeup not completely finished. We can make it look like that. But they just looked like that pretty, pretty princess sitting in the chair, being pampered, already looking flawless. And then I know I can use those photos in my portfolio if I want to, or on my social media to market myself, because I'm also posing. I'm not in the middle of actually trying to figure out where am I going to put this hair right now. Because I mean, if you're watching this on the YouTube, like just speaking, you can see like my eyebrows, one proof, don't have Botox. But nothing against Botox, but you know, like my eyebrows are always going. All right. And so I'm not sitting there like squinting or scrunching my eyes or furrowing up my eyebrows, or, you know, I know that my chin is out and down, you know, like I don't give myself the double chin. I always had a few minutes to kind of like touch myself up a little bit so that I'm not looking like crap in the background of other people's photos. Everything was always posed and faked, even me. Okay, so everything comes out that perfect Pinterest-worthy kind of image. Okay, let me just interrupt today's episode really quick because I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this month's Masterclass Magic Masterclass topic. If you have ever struggled with a bride who has gotten a bad spray tan and you wish that you could just be doing their spray tans for them so you can control the color result and you don't have to worry about figuring out what foundation matches it and how to shift this and whatever to make it all blend, blah, blah, blah. You want to control the color result. Or if you're looking for a way to supplement your income and add on another revenue stream, if you're looking for something to add to your salon or your spa, or if you're just really curious about the service of spray tanning, what does it actually involve? How do you market that? What equipment, which solutions do you use? All those goodies. I have a new masterclass inside of my monthly membership, Masterclass Magic. And this month, for the month of September 2023, is all about spray tanning. There are so many amazing benefits to doing spray tanning and to offering that as a supplemental service. I have done it for 15 years now. I actually just retired from doing that as well. So I am ready to pass all of my knowledge along after a 15-year career marketing specifically to brides as well. That brought me thousands of dollars a month in additional revenue, and it did not require any extra weekends. All right. So if that sounds like something amazing to you, $27 gets you in the door to Masterclass Magic. It is $27 a month. You get every masterclass that has gone on through 2023 already, plus 5 bonus masterclasses from 2022. And then every month you can, it just renews for $27 and you get the following month's masterclass as well. You're free to cancel at any time. You can also purchase a 6-month membership. You pay for 5 months and you get the 6th month for free, or you could prepay for an entire year and you prepay for 10 months worth and you get 2 months for free. So if spray tanning is something that you're interested in learning about, go ahead, click the link in today's episode description, learn a little bit more about the membership and what other topics, or if you're like, you know what, maybe $27 a month sounds like a really great deal for continuing in-depth education on different topics. What else does she talk about? There's a whole list of everything that we've talked about already for the year 2023, everything that's coming up for the rest of this year, and then soon to be released will be more topics for all of 2024. So, all right, there we go. Let's get back to today's episode. So I knew if I was going to be having photos done by this point that I knew I was going to have, you know, a 3-hour window before that ceremony would be starting. So that way the photographer always had plenty of time. I wasn't ever worrying about a photographer coming back to me and saying, well, they need to be done an hour earlier. Literally never happened in my world, because 3 hours, that's plenty. Brides don't want to pay for the photographer to be there any more than they really have to. And a photographer doesn't want to spend more than 3 hours, like, photographing details and getting in the dress and first looks and all those kinds of things, unless they have like 800 bridesmaids and they're going to need an extra hour's worth of, you know, the portraits of who and whatever together. 3 hours was always plenty of time. And so I always set my timeline that, all right, you have a 3 p.m. ceremony. We're done by noon, which means services were done at 11:30. And from 11:30 to 12 was touch up. As soon as services were done, I immediately would pack the majority of my stuff up, keep a few things out, touch ups. And then the photographer would usually arrive somewhere around 12 or maybe even 12:30. And they could get started with all those things. My stuff is out of the way. I don't have to worry about packing all my things up really quick and trying to get out of the background. They had full use of the light. I'm not fighting with the photographer for space, for light. They're not turning off my makeup light because it's adding glare. Same things with like the videographer and stuff. I can't tell you how many people I had touch my fucking lights or just like try and pick up my kit and move shit away. Like, sir, how would you feel if I just picked up your camera bag and was like, I'm just gonna drop this over here. Like, hands the fuck off. But I digress. So it was really about making the space and the time right for me and making sure that I always had the time that I needed. And if the photographer wasn't going to get there until the 2 hour mark and we were done, cleaned up and out of there by the 1 hour, guess what? She has an entire hour to relax and spend time with her bridal party. I didn't have to worry about bridesmaids being like, oh my God, photographer is going to be here in 20 minutes already and worrying about timing. Like, they weren't trying to rush the process, things like that. Almost every single wedding that I work on, I mean, even to this day when I assist, because I assist with people who have these same processes, the bridal party is like, wow, this is so relaxed. This is so not stressful. We have so much time still, you know, before the ceremony. Like, things aren't rushed. That was always kind of like my big selling point and my big thing in my business was I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to rush you. I'm not going to put stress on myself to get done and things like that. So I could always write a timeline 6 months before a wedding, and that was it. Because guess what? The timeline was based on what was on my contract, and I am not redoing shit, okay? They want to add somebody, absolutely. They can go ahead and they can add up to a certain point. Now, everybody's business is going to be a little bit different. I recommend somewhere between 45 to 90 days before the wedding day. And I always said that I could add people with the caveat that I needed to guarantee staff first before they could add. And I would always let them know, hey, we may not even be able to add anybody to the schedule if you try and tell me 45 days out, I want to add my grandma, I want to add my mom, can we add my stepmom or these people or whatever. They want to know if they can be added. I tell them there's a very real chance that the answer is going to be no. So do you want to get in touch with them now and double check with them? All right. And usually also I had staffing like guidelines and stuff like that with if there's this many people that are going to be there, my initial assumption is that everybody's going to want hair and makeup. How many staff do I need for that? And I would proactively make sure, okay, if this is going to need 4 artists, let me make sure I have 4 artists. Even though they haven't confirmed that many, I want to know, all right, I may only need 3 artists for this contract, but who could my 4th artist be based on the size of the bridal party? Everything really needs to be proactive so that the bride, you don't need the bride for anything. Like, you just need some details from her and then she kind of just signs on the dotted line and says, yes, this is what we're doing. You write your timeline. You let her know you have this many services. This is how many artists you charge for the artists. You charge for the number of services. This is how many hours it's going to take to be done by 2 hours before the ceremony or 3 hours before the ceremony. This is when we're finishing by. This is when we're starting by. All of that should be finalized and done when you sign a contract. I'll never understand people who allow blank spaces on a contract. Maybe it is just because my husband and I have been together for like 20 years now, and his mom's a lawyer, and his mom was a full-time lawyer when we met back in high school and stuff like that. And she, he, I, like all three of us are like, I ain't signing shit until I actually like read everything. And just the concept of, you know, having been in a family that deals with those details. And my husband works for a patent, the patent office. And, you know, it's his job to communicate with lawyers and to make sure things are filled out properly and completely. And he audits things from other examiners and stuff like that. Well, he'll be like, well, you didn't do this properly or whatever. And so we're just all very like type A and things like that. So the fact that some people are like running their business and allowing blank spaces on a contract because a bride doesn't know yet, like you're opening yourself up to so many potential issues. Don't do it. Just say, look, I need these details. We cannot move forward with the booking without these details. And these are the details that will be in place until the day of the wedding, unless you contact me to tell me that there's going to be a change. Don't ask for a bride to confirm something 45 days before the wedding. If it's on the contract, it's been confirmed. She already signed that shit. You have to go to court. You can be like, well, this is what she signed. This is what she said. That's what I did. Okay. She can't claim anything else. She can't request anything else and expect it to be upheld if it's not already in the contract. So when people are saying, I want to add people, we need to change timing, we need to change location. Absolutely. If you can fit that in, cool. Go ahead, make those changes, put it in writing. Add an addendum to your contract and say, all right, here is the breakdown of the changes. Right, I already had one that was a template and I could, you know, within 30 seconds of her saying we need to add three people, cool. Here's the addendum. This is saying these three people are being added. Here is the additional cost, whether we need an additional artist, how it affects the timeline, what the old timeline was, now what the new timeline was, if there was a change to location, any of those details, anything that was changed, here is all of the changes that we are making. As of this date, she has to sign it and then she has to pay a retainer on those added services or on those changes. And then depending on how many times she has gone back and forth between adding or changing or whatever, there may be administrative fees. I say, absolutely, we can go ahead and we can add all of that. This has been our third contract change. There is now an admin fee of $50 for the additional time for me to have to go back and edit and change all of these things. So if you're worried about people coming back to you and changing things a million freaking times, because you know you require a certain headcount or you require a certain thing and things change because they're flexible, that's because you're allowing them to be that flexible, okay? Just put some boundaries in place. Just put some guidelines in place and say, this is the last possible date that you can make changes to headcount. This is the last possible date we can make changes to the timeline or the location or whatever. The only confirmation, so to speak, that you should be sending out is like maybe 7 days or 48 hours in advance and just saying, hey, can't wait to see you Saturday, Friday, whatever day. We are going to be doing hair and makeup for X number of people at this address. Are there any last minute details that I need to know about the location, parking, all of those kinds of things were things that I would confirm the last week. All right. This is the venue that we're getting you ready at. Is there anything I need to know about parking at this location? Are there multiple buildings? And if so, do you know which building you're going to be in? If it's a hotel, okay, you know, here is my cell phone number. Please text me when you check in the night before with what your room number is so I can go straight to the room in the morning. Those are the only kinds of things that you need to reconfirm. If it's on the contract, it's already been confirmed. So here's a verbiage thing for you. Stop saying confirm. Okay, just stop saying confirm. If it's on the contract, it's been confirmed. She signed for that, saying these details are correct, which is why you need to have those details in the contract. So it's reconfirm. Let's just reconfirm what we have in the contract. And you can reiterate those details back to her. Make sure that your timelines are written a few months beforehand. As per the details of the contract, here's your timeline as written. If there have been any changes, any updates, as your planner or your photographer has requested changes, please let me know and I will double check on whether or not I can accommodate those changes. Let people know it's maybe not an option, okay? And you give people less space to walk all over you and they won't be able to because there's no space there. Okay. You're giving them a boundary right away. And this is how you get people to follow through and how you get people to communicate early on. And if they're like, well, I don't know. Well, we can't move forward until you do know. Or, all right, well, how many are definite at this point? And you can let them know, I will continue to hold this space for 24 hours, 48 hours, however long you feel comfortable with holding a date, and just let them know, I can't send you a contract unless I have headcount and unless I at least know what your ceremony start time is so we can set your end time at 3 hours beforehand. That'll give us enough wiggle room in case things change closer to the wedding day and your photographer doesn't need the full 3 hours, or you don't need to travel from the getting ready location to the ceremony and do all of the pre-ceremony photos and things like that. So, and my brides would be like, my God, that sounds like so much time. Cool. I know it is. But you know what? This is also going to make the wedding day so much less stressful for you. Because here's the thing. And I think this is one of the reasons why so many people this year in particular are running into communication issues. Brides are getting burnt the fuck out. Okay. In years past, there has not been so much social media consumption around weddings. Now on TikTok and Instagram, you have reels and you have all of these trends and everything in your face all the time. If somebody has been searching for wedding stuff, all it takes is a few likes in the algorithm and it's going to start pumping more and more wedding related content into your feed. They have been absorbed in Pinterest and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook groups, all of these details for so long and so many months that by like 3 or 4 months before the wedding, they're done. They're done. They don't want to think about it anymore. And so if they have 20 different vendors all coming at them 3 months before their wedding saying, we need to confirm these details, guess what? They're not going to want to do it. They're not going to want to get back to you. They're feeling burnt out. They're over it, and they're going to put it off for as long as possible. So this is why having these conversations and letting people know these are the details and these are going to be what I work from up until the wedding day, until you tell me different, then they're like, good, off my plate, off my mental plate. I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to worry about confirming a million fucking details for everybody and their brother all at the same time. Don't leave it to last minute, okay? So this is how you can be super proactive and provide that extra concierge luxury, high touch kind of service of saying, look, I'm not gonna be like driving you crazy about all of these details. Until you tell me something has changed, I'm going to assume this is the way things are, okay? And then the ball is in the bride's court. If things do change and she needs to reach back out to you, cool, you handle it from there. Don't be afraid of her not getting in touch with you until the last minute and then you can't accommodate the changes because you weren't in her face about it. Because if you structure your workflow to have check-ins and you're not asking to confirm, you're asking to reconfirm, or you're reiterating and saying, all right, you know, here's all the details. Just a quick reminder. Your last day to change any of these details, if there have been any updates, is XYZ date, okay? And you do that 3 or 4 times every 30, 45 days throughout the process and just saying, hey, just touching base, just checking in with you. As a reminder, your last day to make any additions to your headcount is XYZ date. Right now, our end time is at noon. Your ceremony is at 3. If there's been any changes to those details, please let me know and I can double check to make sure that I can accommodate that. And as many times as you say, let's just reconfirm these details, always make sure you're following it up with, I will check and see if I can accommodate those. It plants the seed early on and waters it throughout this entire interaction that you are not at their whim, okay? we may actually be. You know, I mean, if you're like myself and many other vendors, we don't book any other weddings on that same day. And we might be flexible, but we're not, you know, on our knees in front of the bride being like, I'm here to serve you. I am at your beck and call, whatever you need all day long. That's not necessarily the customer service that we think it is. That's lacking boundaries. Okay, we might be able to actually say, hey, you know what, I'm not doing anything else. If you need me to get up an extra 30 minutes earlier, or if you need me to start 30 minutes later or whatever, any of those kinds of things, we may be super flexible and totally chill with like making all of those changes. But if we just put it in the bride's mind of, I'm yours to command throughout the day, and I will let you change details as many times as you want to be flexible, guess what she's going to do? She's going to put things off, or she's going to change stuff a lot. And we're going to be the ones, you know, like waiting until that last second going, oh my God, she's not emailing me back. I can't do my job. Okay. So it's not necessarily about brides who aren't listening. Okay. You know, I like to be a little tricky in my podcasts here where it's like, here's the topic that we're going to talk about. And then throughout the conversation, it's like, this is actually what not the problem is, you know, or, you know, hello, Yoda speak. This is not what the problem actually is. This is what you think the problem is. But here's how you're actually creating this problem in your own business. And now here's some proactive steps for how we can actually fix that. How can we change things? What can we do better in our situation? I know I've mentioned before in different trainings and podcasts and things like that. But if you see a repetition of things happening over and over and over again, and it seems to be a pattern, it's usually something that you're doing that is allowing the situation to happen. Brides don't have a hive mind, guys. They don't all just suddenly decide, this is the year I'm gonna fuck with my vendors. This is the year I am just not gonna respond back to anybody. What is going on? Let's take a step back. Let's investigate what's going on in the industry. What is going on in brides' minds? Have you had conversations? It was a problem that, one of my coaching students was going through, and she had this bride who, like, in February, okay? So February of 2023, she has been trying to schedule a trial with this girl, and she was like, well, based on your hair that you send me photos of, and the images of what you're looking for, your inspiration stuff, you need extensions. There's no way we can recreate that look without extensions for you. So you need to order these extensions before we can do a trial. Okay. So this is back in February, guys. This is being filmed in September. All right. So from February to September, she was like, here's where to get the extensions. Here's the color that I recommend for you based on XYZ and whatever. And the bride just kept putting things off. And then at the beginning of the summer, she was like, hey, we have to schedule your trial. Have you ordered the extensions yet? And the bride was like, no, I've just been putting it off. I haven't done it yet. She kept emailing her and checking with her and checking with her and checking in with her. And she's like, what the fuck do I do? She was like, this girl hasn't ordered her extensions yet. We can't schedule a trial. And this girl had a really strict schedule of availability of when she could even come in for the trial. And she was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get her in here before her wedding. We may end up doing it like the week of the wedding kind of thing. And this was a situation where this bride really needed a trial for this particular hair look to make sure that the extensions were going to work correctly. She was undecided, like yada, yada, yada. She really needed a trial. So she finally got her in, and it was like less than 30 days before the wedding. And she was just talking with her, and she was just like, hey, you know, like, what was kind of going on? You know, it's been like 6 or 7 months that we've been talking about this. Was there something that was holding you back? Was there something that was getting in the way? She wanted to understand why her bride was behaving this way so that she could identify where in her process maybe she could change things. Could she maybe create a PDF or have a different conversation early on in the conversation about, here's where to order extensions from, here's the conditions when you would need an extension, or like what information could she put out there maybe on social media, in emails, prep guides, PDFs, whatever, to help facilitate brides getting their extensions so it doesn't keep getting put on the back burner. She was like, I'm not going to let this become a habit. I'm not going to let this become a situation that I see repeat itself all the time and stresses me out. What can I do? And she was having the conversation from that point, and the bride was just like, look, I'm just so burned out. Like, I'm so over it. I am so ready to just go on my honeymoon and just be done. I'm just done with everything with wedding planning. And I was like, yeah, you know, that was always a conversation that I had with a lot of brides within the last 30 days before their wedding. I mentioned before I used to, you know, work behind the chair and I would do a lot of like last minute haircuts, and, you know, the brides would come in a couple days before the wedding and just be like, okay, you said we needed face framing pieces. You're doing my hair. You know where those face framing pieces are. Let's do some face framing. And then they'd get like a blowout or something like that, or a deep conditioning treatment or a glossing treatment or a facial extensions, all those kinds of things, spray tans. I used to do it all. Okay. So I would see them a lot within that 30 day mark or within that 1 week before the wedding. And they were always, you know, even 15, 16 years ago, when it wasn't this bombardment of wedding related stuff on social media, every time they open their computer, every time they open their phone, there's another email, there's another text, there's another, you know, DM, somebody needing something from them. Okay. They would just be like, I'm so over it. I'm so ready to be married. I can't wait for it to be there or to be here and to go ahead and just get this shit done. So these days it's like, yeah, that process starting way earlier. So if you're somebody who likes to do trials within the last 30 days before the wedding or 2 months before the wedding, I really recommend just really talking with people super early on in the conversation and then working into your workflow little reminders of here's the last day for this. And then that's how I really recommend phrasing things so that you're really setting a very super clear boundary. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no like, well, I misunderstood this or whatever. The last day to do XYZ is blah, blah, blah day. Okay. Not 3 months before the wedding. That's kind of, I know it's not subjective. Okay. Like 3 months, that's 90 days. What if it's a 30 day month and a 31? Like, you know, like people will be nitpicky or they'll just like, they'll think in their head like, okay, it's a July wedding. So 90 days or whatever, 3 months beforehand. Oh, that's sometime in like April. And then they think that they have the entire month of April to get something done. And it's like, nope, as soon as April is done, May has come around, you're within 90 days. So be super clear about due dates. The last day to do this is XYZ. If you're waiting for people to get back to you with communication, give them a deadline. Not just say, hey, checking in, I need you to confirm these details. Please get back to me as soon as possible. As soon as possible can mean something completely different to them than it does to you. If I have not heard back from you by XYZ date at XYZ time, I will move forward with XYZ details as per the contract. Or if you have not scheduled your trial by XYZ date, the trial must be held by XYZ date, or it must be booked, like scheduled, like physically pick the day and time by XYZ date at XYZ time, you will forfeit your right to a trial and you will not receive a refund for any, you know, trial fees paid, or XYZ clause in my contract will take place, whether a lack of a trial means they don't get any refunds, if any added fees for extra length on the wedding day to accommodate a last minute trial on the wedding day applies, like whatever your policy is, or if you're like, I don't fucking care, whatever, I'll just show up. But guess what? You should have an artistic differences clause in there. As a reminder, if by not doing a trial on the, you know, before the wedding day or by XYZ date and waiving your right to a trial, on the wedding day. If you don't like what I do, there's no refunds. There's no canceling, like whatever your policy is, okay? So you have to make sure that you have things in your contract that are already protecting you and are already like repercussions that are literally already written into it. If you don't do this by this day, this happens. That is the purpose of a contract. It's not just necessarily protect you if you need to go to court. Like, we never want to get to that point. Ever. We never want to have to take somebody to court. That's really bad for our business reputation. It's stressful as fuck. It is really expensive and it is time consuming. Taking people to court is not like you show up on that date 30 days from when you file or whatever and it's resolved. Like, it takes months to years to get a resolution. Okay, so court is the very, very last ditch effort. We don't ever want to have to resort to that. We want to have consequences put together in our contract beforehand so that we can point to it and say, hey, you agreed to this. You agreed to this rule. You said you would schedule your trial by XYZ day. And that's why I recommend this specific date, not 90 days or 30 days or 3 months. Like, give them a hardcore due date. Like, a credit card doesn't say, please pay this within a month. It says payment must be made by 5 p.m. or by midnight on XYZ date. Give people very hardcore specific due dates for things if you want them to follow them. Not everybody's going to do it, okay? But at least you can go back to your contract and say, you didn't follow this. Here's the consequence. So you're not sitting there going, what do I do? It's already in your contract. You already know what you're going to do. You already know what to tell the bride. It's going to happen from there. So when you have these situations that are popping up, whether it's lack of communication, whether it is delays in getting details to you or not scheduling, or people not shampooing their hair or prepping their skin properly, or whatever these situations are where people aren't, quote unquote, listening to you, the very first step I want you to think of is, what can I do to prevent this from happening again? And sometimes the only answer is, don't work with that bride again because she was the problem. All right, that's not helpful, okay? Pointing a finger at the bride and saying, well, that was just her fault this time. Cool. What about next time? What about next time? What if you get another bride just like her? You didn't know she was going to be like that. There's a chance you could get another bride just like her. Okay. So what do we need to do? How do I need to change things? Do I need to add anything? Do I need to update my workflow? Do I need to add things to emails? Do I need another reminder email in there sometime? Do I need to have an entire separate bold print page in my PDF saying, please wash your fucking hair? Okay? Like, sometimes it really is, you need to have an entire page. Please wash your hair. Like, they can't miss that. It's not in a little teeny tiny paragraph. It's not a subscript. It's not a postscript on an email. P.S. Make sure to tell your bridesmaids that the hair needs to be clean and dry. It's not hidden in a contract somewhere, or something that you bitch about after the fact on social media, on TikTok or whatever, in your rage reels, okay? It's bold. It's right there. It is part of the prep document, an entire page dedicated to it. This is important to me. This is an important detail. Please wash your fucking hair. Don't put the F word in there, okay? Unless your brides are cool like that and they're cool with you saying wash your fucking hair. I doubt that. So this is why hair needs to be clean and dry. Some people don't understand the why, okay? They will think they know better than us, okay? Have you ever seen the episode of, I think it was maybe The Office or Parks and Rec or something like that, the guy with the mustache and the beard or whatever, and he's at like Home Depot or something like that, and the guy asks him if he needs help, and he's like, I know more than you, okay? Some of our bridesmaids, guys, act like that dude. It's not their job, but they think because they watch TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or whatever, or their great aunt Sally went to cosmetology school in 1984, dirty hair is better. Or because the only way that they get their hair to look good themselves when they do it is when their hair is kind of dirty because they don't understand how to prep it. They don't understand the right products. They don't use good technique. They don't use high quality tools. So of course, it doesn't look good unless they do it this specific way. And they'll try and tell you, well, no, my hair is special. My hair is special. I don't need to follow your rules. I already know what I'm doing. My hair is special. I'm a special snowflake and I'm one of a kind and none of your rules apply to me. And they will just have that attitude. Okay. So if you just tell them, please wash your hair, they may think, well, fuck you. I know more than you. Okay. I know my hair. You don't know my hair. All right. And they'll do what they want. And then it doesn't work. And you're like, I told you to wash your hair. But you didn't tell them why. You have to make it be, well, what's in it for them? Why should they listen to you? What is the consequence? What is the result? Like, what is the why? What's in it for them to change their behavior so that you have a better experience? Because they don't give a shit whether you have a better experience. They want the experience to be good for them. So put a page in your PDF that says, here's why washing your hair the day before or the morning of will give you the best hair of your life. Put it into context. Who doesn't want the best hair of their life? Somebody said, this is how to get the best hair of your life. Fuck, I'm going to read that. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see if they know what they're talking about. And then I'm going to sit down and hope that I get this result. Like, what's in it for them? You want people to listen? You need to put it very obvious and very clear and easy, black and white to understand terms. Okay, don't be vague. Don't use industry terms or whatever. Layman's terms, black and white, very clear, can't miss the details. And then you have to tell them, this is why. This is what's in it for you. Them as the person. That's the you I'm talking about, not you as the artist. They don't care. All right. You want people to follow your instructions. You have to tell them what's in it for them for doing that. All right. What is the, you know, cookie after the potty kind of thing? Like potty training, you know, like if you've ever trained your kids on to use the toilet or even just remember from your childhood or whatever, you use the potty, you get a cookie or a toy or a sticker or whatever it is. What's the cookie after potty? All right. Why should they follow your instructions versus thinking they know better than you? All right. So, also, when it comes to deadlines, all right, do we need to shift those at all? Is it you being flexible or you opening the door to be walked all over? Is this being flexible from a customer service standpoint or because you lack boundaries? Okay, why are you so flexible with things? And some people will be like, damn, Suzanne, you're like a bitch, you know, like, you're real hardcore. But you know what? My brides followed my directions. Bridal parties were ready. And even my brides were like, mm-mm-mm. Suzanne doesn't run late. Suzanne will kick you out of a chair if you're not prepped ready. Like, they were on their bridal party to make sure that everybody was following my directions. And I almost never had issues. The only time I would really run into things is when I was assisting for other people. And they didn't have the same policies in there. But I had the conversation so many times with my brides about, this is what I would like your bridal party to do. And then at the end of the day, honestly, a lot of it comes down to, how much does it really matter? How much does it really matter? Why are you getting so upset about it? And that's a question I ask to people in Facebook groups a lot of times when people get on there and they're just like, and then they're ranting and they're like, then I see this all the time or whatever. And then I ask them, why are you so angry about this? Why is this bothering you so much? And then they'll be like, all like, well, actually, it's really not, it's not bothering me that much. And it's like, okay, well, reread what you wrote. You've gotten kind of like, you're aggressive or you're sounding and you're coming across really confrontational, really angry about this situation. Why? Why are you letting it bother you so much? Did you create the situation? And now you're like, well, shit, I made my bed and I got a lie in it. I don't like that. Okay. Yeah. That would make me mad too. I'd be mad at myself. And then you have to spin it and be like, okay, well, what can I change for next time? Or if you did everything you actually possibly could and the situation still happened, Why are you so mad about it? How does this affect your life once you go home? Is this going to matter 30 days from now? You might still be salty about it. Yeah. 30 days from now, there are brides who, like, 2 or 3 years ago, where there were weddings or, you know, bridal party members or whatever, where I'm still like, ugh, that person still annoyed me. But you know what? That's a fun story too. It was a learning experience. I can talk about it with my coaching. I can vent about it. I can share a story on a podcast about the crazy mother-in-law who did XYZ or whatever. So yeah, sometimes a couple years down the road, yeah, it really got under my skin. I took it personally. Do I want to hold on to that forever? Do I still want to let those words and that behavior from that person affect my life 30 days from now, 6 months from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now? I don't really care anymore. And so I think when you have situations like that, it's a good mental checkpoint of like, oh, maybe I'm kind of overreacting. Did I do everything I could? Is there somewhere, is there an opportunity for me to make a simple tweak? Add a new email somewhere. Take that piece of information and make its own entire page in my prep guide. Maybe pay attention to that red flag a little better. What can I do? And if there's nothing, if there's really truly nothing that you could have done, let it go, guys. That's probably one of the best pieces of advice I think I can give you, is learning to let go, learning to dissect a situation and go, how much does this really matter? Am I affected more than emotionally? Does this hurt my reputation? Does this hurt me physically? Did it hurt me emotionally? Is this going to have long-term repercussions? Did I respond appropriately? Did I handle that well? Could I have handled it better? Did this behavior on my part come from a place of integrity? Or did it come from a place of, you know, emotional vulnerability? I was feeling so many emotions and I wasn't necessarily thinking clearly. Take a step back. Let's think clearly now. Okay. So we can prevent this from happening again, and we can have a long-term, more sustainable, successful, emotionally fulfilling bridal business. So, all right. That is pretty much it. That's it for this episode. It was a bit of a long one. It's been longer than a lot of my most recent ones, but it's a lot of things that I see people really struggling with the most. And I think it's a very preventable situation, unless you're going to run into the people who just are never going to listen, never going to follow directions, and just not going to do what you want them to. Okay. But that's going to be a really small percentage. That is the actual root cause of a very small percentage. The majority of the time, there's something somewhere we could have done differently. Let's set our egos aside and say, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to go through this situation anymore. I don't like how this felt. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to feel this way again. What can I change? What can I do? Okay. It's not about you. It's about saying, I'm going to learn from this situation. I can be angry about it, or I can use this. I can use this anger and I can funnel it into making my business better. I'm not an amazing business person because I have never had a problem with a bride. I am amazing at running my business because I've had so many shitty interactions, mostly with bridal party members. Very, very rarely has it been with a bride. My brides are pretty good. I learned very early on to say no and to identify red flags. I made my booking process kind of complicated on purpose. That to me was like, if you can jump through all of these hoops, then I know I want to work with you. Like, that was my filtration system. If you can make it through this, all right, it's worth it. I don't want people who want me to be doing all the work. This is a two-way street. We got to work together. This is a partnership kind of situation here. That's how we both get the best. And I learned to say no really early. So it was mostly bridal party members. It was mostly moms. And yeah, there were communication issues and things like that. And as I grew with my boundaries and as I had more and more mistakes, and I will admit, I made so many mistakes. But guess what? Instead of turning around and being like, oh, shucks, I made a mistake. I said, oh, shit, I made a mistake. How do I fix that? I took my ego out of the equation and I got angry. But instead of sitting there and stewing in my anger, I used it. I used it productively. Okay. When you get scared, your body gets a rush of cortisol. If you don't burn off that cortisol, which is your body's way of saying, there's a tiger chasing us. Do we fight it or do we run? And it prepares your body. If you don't use it, guess what happens? Guess what your body does to it? It stores it as fat. I don't want to do that. I want to use it. All right. I want to use that cortisol. All right. I want to take my anger at a situation, and I don't want it to become fat. I don't want it to become emotional baggage. I don't want it to become a rock around my ankles holding my business down. I want to take that and the frustration and the anger and all the negative feelings that I have when something doesn't go right, and I want to turn around and I want to make a better situation for myself tomorrow. And that's what I want to empower you guys to do. Reevaluate how you see these negative interactions and say, what can I do? What can I do to never feel this way again? How can I take this and make it become productive? How can I take this rush of cortisol and use this as energy to fuel me to run away from that tiger or to fight that tiger? How can I use this to put myself in a better situation rather than using it to hold me back? So thank you so much for listening, guys. All right. Before I end this episode, again, I want to ask for your assistance. I would love if you could please go to wherever you're listening to this and leave me a quick rating. It would mean the world to me. And if you are somebody who has not subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, please head on over to YouTube. If you type in at swears and does hair, you will find me. So you can just even go straight to youtube.com/@, you have to put the at symbol, swears and does hair. It'll pull up my page. Go ahead, subscribe to the YouTube channel. There is going to be exclusive YouTube only content coming out over the next few weeks. I have some kit walkthroughs of my makeup kit and my hair kit and the different bags that I use, okay, how I pack everything, how I've condensed things down. I have some other trainings, and then depending on how many followers we gain during this break period before we get back into the regular audio podcasts as well, I'm going to be releasing some exclusive masterclasses to the YouTube channel. Plus, I have a lot of fun other things coming later on this fall that are going to be YouTube exclusive content, additional trainings that are not just podcast episodes. So there's a lot of value and a ton of additional education and opportunities there to grow your business to the next level over on the YouTube channel. So you can find the direct link for that in the show notes, or you can just go and search for me on YouTube. Make sure that you click the subscribe button, because a lot of these details are going to be based on the number of subscribers that I get. So the more subscribers that I get, the more valuable free content that I will be giving to you guys. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. Oh my God, again, the end of season 2, 70 episodes. 70. It's kind of crazy. But thank you so much for joining me for this incredible ride. I am so, so thankful for you guys. And I will see you guys back in a couple of weeks for season 3. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel empowered, knowledgeable, and capable of handling anything that your business throws your way. Don't forget to subscribe to get access to new episodes as they are released each week on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Love today's episode? Let me know. Leave me a review and tell me what your biggest takeaway was from the conversation. Have a request for a future topic or someone you'd like to hear me interview? Find me on Instagram at beautybizcollective and drop me a DM. And if you're hungry for more actionable content to help you grow your bridal business, go to www.swearsanddoeshair.com/bookmorebrides to sign up for my free on-demand training and learn how to book better quality brides faster, easier, and with less stress.